Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Sometimes, but not all, haunting cases, we walk away from them going, it seems this spirit may be asking for help. This spirit may need something from the living that they cannot accomplish on the other side. Sometimes that's not evident till well after you are out of the situation where the help is being requested of you. But not always is there a way for the living to deliver that help to the other side. What do you do in a situation like that? Other than you know the facts of what happened, but is there always a way to deliver the help that they are seeking? Sometimes it can take days, weeks, years, even a lifetime of trying to figure out what it is that they are seeking from us. Our next story is one such case, a case where a woman was murdered in her home. It appears she came back to ask for help from one of the living girls that now inhabit that same property. But what sort of help was she seeking? I'll let you decide. Take a listen. I can understand if you hear the story and you feel skeptical, but I can guarantee that this all happened to me and forever cemented my belief in spirits in the afterlife. I never believed in ghosts until my family moved into a very nearly condemned house. You know, big fixer-upper, big city, little money, you know the deal. We didn't know that there had been a murder in the house until after we moved away. It took almost 2 years of continuous work, but we made that house beautiful. It was a big house and we were renting it for next to nothing because our landlady lived right next door, but it was nowhere close to perfect. Even though it was a big house, the setup wasn't that great. My sister and I had to share our room. My other sister got to sleep in the basement, although how she did it after what started happening, I have no idea. My brother got his own room for a while, and my parents shared a room, obviously. Well, after a while, we loved the house. It was bright, had lots of windows, perfect for heating and cooling. We had a huge living room, huge dining room, huge kitchen. It was perfect for our huge family. Everything was normal until we cut down the giant pine tree in the backyard. I don't know why, but I think that unsettled whatever spirits were there. I've learned since then that spirits don't like change in their environment. Some unexplainable events started happening, weird things that I could only categorize as paranormal. This wasn't the first time I had encountered paranormal activity. In another house we used to live in, we could hear the spirit of an old man walking around at night, almost as if he were on patrol. I remember one time I'd gotten a balloon and drew a face on it with a marker. As the helium started leaking out of it, it didn't sink to the floor like a normal balloon would. It seemed to be caught in the middle. It drifted from room to room, the face always pointing forward. We tried pushing it to the ceiling and to the floor, but it stayed right there in the middle, drifting to each room for a couple of days until we finally found it on the floor next to the couch. We moved not long after that. My sister and I, like I said before, shared a room. It was very easy to hear voices carry up the staircase, saying as we were right off the landing. But sometimes we'd hear someone call my name from downstairs, and no one was downstairs. I never felt frightened, only curious and confused. At first, you try to dismiss the voices carrying up the stairs. You find excuses. Mostly, you can blame it on your imagination, but that only goes so far. The reality was someone was calling my name when no one was home. The next instance was one night my sister was already sound asleep, but I was having trouble because I had an uneasy feeling. This would be an experience I couldn't blame on my imagination. I felt a force bear down on me while I was trying to sleep. Heavy breathing filled the room. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. But it too passed. It was around that time I realized whatever was inhabiting that house had singled me out. The thing had never called my sister's name, even though she had heard the same voice. It had progressed, so now not only did it sound like someone was calling my name from downstairs, but right outside my door and sometimes right behind me. After school one day, it just so happened I was home alone for an hour or so. I decided to play with our new computer. This was only the second computer we had ever had, and this was far better than the one before it. It was a Christmas present, and it was being February, there were still things we hadn't discovered. I found out that we had a voice recorder. So just experimenting, I let it run the entire time through without saying anything. I wanted to know what it would sound like if I just let the recorder run. While playing it back normal, I heard something that I knew I hadn't heard while recording. There was no noise made during that time, not even a squeak from my chair. The bird was even unusually silent, which is strange because usually she whistled like a maniac whenever she knew there was someone within earshot. Well, the noise was almost indecipherable, but hearing it a couple times, though, it sounded like a cry for help. What exactly she said was, "No, don't." It was a very pitiful sound of someone wailing, especially if you can't identify who or what that someone was. As soon as someone got home, I let them listen to it. They brushed it off, saying it was an effect from the computer or that could have been a car driving past. But how can they explain the unmistakable sound of someone, a woman, nonetheless, saying, "No, don't"? Our house is silent unless the windows are open. We are set back far enough from the road to where we couldn't hear the cars if all the windows and doors were closed. And being February, they were. My mom said it could have been the heat vent, but since when do heat vents talk? I recorded in complete silence. Nothing could disprove the existence of the voice on our computer. Of course, I saved it and tried to record in total silence again, but it was a rare afternoon that I got alone. With six people in your family, hardly a moment goes by when at least one person isn't home. Finally, after all of that, I saw her. I knew it was a girl or a woman because whenever we heard someone call our names, it was a woman. And I had recorded a woman's voice. I'd gone into the basement to put a load of laundry into the washer. My sister's basement room was right next to the laundry room and no wall separated it. Only a long table and chair moved against the washer. When you're looking straight at the washer, or in my case, in it, you can see the chair slightly out of the corner of your eye. I went down to pick up more clothes from the basket I had brought down, and when I straightened, I saw out of the corner of my eye a figure that hadn't been there a second ago sitting in the chair. As soon as I looked directly at the chair, there was nothing there. It didn't take but half a second, but the image had been burned into my memory forever. She had long dark hair, very straight, ending near the middle of her back, wearing a red V-neck shirt that was form-fitting, and a black skirt that seemed to be made of leather, ending right above her knee. She was light-skinned and modern-looking. I hear a lot about hauntings by spirits that have died hundreds of years ago, but not her. She had must have died within the last 10 years. Funny thing about seeing her, though, is her image was blurred, but her face even more so. I could tell exactly what kind of clothes she was wearing, but I couldn't tell anything about her face because it was so blurred. One night, my sister was having a get-together with a bunch of friends. My mom had just bought a digital camera to go with our new computer. It was a new toy that we all started taking pictures with. We took a whole bunch of group shots and funny poses. Remember, we only took about 21 shots because I was the one who took most of the pictures. My mom loaded the pictures into the computer, and there, in between frames 17 and 18, with no number attached to it, was a girl with long dark hair, a red shirt, and black shirt sitting on the couch looking straight forward. We caught her profile, and she looked the same as when she was in the basement. I recognized her instantly. It was an odd picture because the entire frame was out of focus and she was faintly outlined. Her feet seemed to disappear, and let me just say, it scared the hell out of every girl at that party. Also, no one was wearing a red shirt. Not even my brother. It had to be this girl. The name Christy came to mind. It was a nickname I gave her for whatever reason. It just popped into my head one day, and that was her name. It wasn't too long after the discovery of this girl that we decided to sell our new beautiful home and find something bigger. About a week after our move, my mom came to me with a newspaper clipping from 1993. All she did was apologize for not believing me and asked me to read it. Turns out a girl about 17 years old, only a few months older than me, was murdered by her drunken father over an undisclosed altercation in her house. She had been shot in the face with a shotgun. And I kid you not, the picture in the paper was a school photo. She had long dark hair and a red V-neck shirt. If the picture were bigger, I would have bet money she had on a black leather skirt. Her name was Tiffany. I just wish there was a way I could have helped her. She targeted me, not in a mean-spirited way, but almost as if she were crying for help. And I was the one she was asking. There were a way I could go back there and help.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. GhostPodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories.